a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
It's the third of our final 3 weeks in the legislature, so we've got five bills before us today. I just want to welcome everyone and greet the internet listeners, and we really appreciate you participating in public policy work, particularly with education, such an important topic in our state. Just a reminder, check your cell phones and make sure that they are off, as I will do the same for mine, and would ask Teresa to please call the roll.
Oh, Teresa needs her glasses.
And Teresa needs her glasses for our internet audience.
That's right. Senators Curd, Frerichs, Greenfield, Hunhoff, here. Rampelberg, here. Solano, here. Soholt.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. All right, we have new pages for these next 2 weeks. We're so happy that you're here, and thank you, and welcome to your state capital. We just couldn't do the work without you. So introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, and what you might be thinking about for your future. And just trust me, this is a story you're going to tell over and over and over again for the next 2 weeks, so you could change it from day to day. So if you're undetermined, just say astrophysicist or something, and then you can be something different tomorrow. It's the American way. So welcome.
Hi, I'm Abby Simon, and I'm from Holman, South Dakota, and I plan to attend Lake Erie for Management and Human Resources.
Great. Welcome, Abby. We're glad you're here.
Thank you very much. I am Ethan Weinheimer from Oneida, South Dakota, and I plan to go to Lake Erie for some kind of an agricultural education and come back and farm.
Wow, that's so great. Thanks. Lake Erie would be proud today. Welcome to Senate Education. Thanks for helping us out. We really appreciate it. All right, senators, we have minutes from 2:19 that I would entertain a motion to approve.
Move.
Approved by Senator Rampelberg, seconded by Senator Hunhoff. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Those minutes carry. All right. We are ready to rock and roll. Just a reminder, if you want to testify, be sure to sign in. And we're going to begin with House Bill 1066, an act to clarify that the required notice requirements related to continuing contracts do not apply to employees of post-secondary technical institutes. Good morning and welcome, Senator Thiessen.
Good morning, Madam Chair of Committee, Senator Craig Thiessen, District 34, Rapid City. House Bill 1066 has a lot of scratches and underlines, but there's really only one word significant change, and that is in the next to last line is the word contracted employee. The situation here, this applies to the tech schools. The tech schools do not have continuing contracts. Instead, they have a 60-day notice for their teaching employees. I think Mr. Thiessen will explain further, but there's a situation in which a non-teaching employee believed that this statute applied to them, and so this clarification will be that simply that the notice, the 60-day notice, applies to contracted the teaching employees. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Thiessen, and I know that you have a big day in judiciary today. Are you going to be able to stay with us, or do you want to...
For a few minutes.
Okay, thank you. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1066. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dick Thiessen. I represent the four technical institutes today on House Bill 1066. If I might digress just a little bit, I think it will be helpful in understanding the bill. In South Dakota, we have two kinds of employees. We have at-will employees and we have contract employees. At-will employees are employees that we hire from day to day. They do not have a contract. In that situation, the employer has the legal right to terminate that employee for any reason or no reason at all. Simply because they don't like the way I combed my hair today, they might let me go. The other form is a contract employee, and in order to terminate the contract employee, you have to have a violation of the contract terms. So with that under our belt, I'll address the bill if I might. Some years ago, when this body was looking, I suppose, at whether educational staff at the technical institutes should have some sort of contract or not, and what kinds of notice should be given to terminate them, they passed what is contained in 133965. And I think that this bill is a case study, if you will, about how when you draft something yourself, it makes perfect sense to you, and that that you can't imagine anybody could read it any differently. If you might indulge me for a moment, let's read what the law is without the amendments. So today, before this bill passes, the law said that the continuing contract provisions set forth in those statutes do not apply to any person employed in a public post-secondary institute. At least 60 days written notice of the intent to renew a year-to-year contract, at least 60 days termination of an employee in a post-secondary institute is to be given. Well, what was missed when this law was passed is that it referred to an employee instead of a contract employee. So, some time goes by, and what happens? Somebody always finds some way, right? So someone who works in the kitchen decides on the date that they are being terminated, no, you can't terminate me because you have to give me 60 days notice. I'm sure that when that law was initially passed, everybody in the room knew what they meant when they referred to an employee. They were talking about a contract employee, not an at-will employee. But because it's hard to see when you craft it yourself, it was somehow missed. And so we are here today because we have had some situations where at-will employees have asserted the use of this language in its existing form to try and avoid termination. The bill with the amendment will make clear, I think, that people who are employed are instructional staff who are on contracts should still receive that 60-day notice, and I'll tell you that most of them receive far more than that because we're always looking ahead at what programs we're going to have or going to cut. So this just makes clear by these amendments that the 60-day notice applies only to those folks who have contracts of employment. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1066. Seeing none, is there opponent testimony? Seeing none, I'll open it up to committee questions. Seeing none, we'll close the public debate and close it to committee dialogue and or action. Seeing none, I hope someone would wake up. Good morning, senators.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Excuse me. Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I would move due pass of House Bill 1066.
Thank you. It's been moved due pass by Senator Solano and seconded by welcome back Senator Greenfield. We're glad to have you here. We missed you. We have a due pass motion on the table. Would you like to speak to your motion, sir?
Just quickly that, as was indicated in the proponent testimony, bills are drafted, laws are passed, and then you have to come back and help create some clarification, which I think this bill does, and does a good job of setting out what's at will and what's not at will employment. So I'd ask for your support. Thank you.
Further discussion on the due pass motion, House Bill 1066. Seeing none, Teresa, I'll have you call the roll. All in favor of due pass, House Bill 1066, say aye. Opposed, nay.
Senators Curd.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Oh.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Carries.
House Bill 1066 is due pass.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Solano.
Move consent.
It's been moved consent by Senator Solano and seconded by Senator Greenfield. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1066 moves to the Senate floor on the consent agenda. Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Good morning. Welcome, everyone. It is wonderful to see a full committee seated around the table, and hopefully we'll have that. No one's allowed now to have anything happen to them, but we are really appreciative that Senator Greenfield is doing well enough that he can be back with us on Senate Education. So,
thank you.
All right, we're going to move on to House Bill 1148, an act to require the annual report of a school district contains certain information regarding school district fund balances. And I'd like to welcome Representative Sly, who's the prime sponsor. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I do have an amendment before I get started.
Yes, Pages, would you help to pass that out to the senators? And you can distribute a couple into the audience as well.
Shall I talk about the amendment first, or
yes,
do you want me
please,
to talk about
if you would like to talk about
okay,
them together,
sure.
Go right ahead.
I'll wait till everyone
wait
gets
till
it.
Wait till get that passed out.
We had some input from people actually in the business of education that the business managers that had a concern with the word on line 9, month end, and they asked that we insert the word cash balances instead of just balances. That would make their job easier, and it does what we want to do with it. So I will proceed with the reasoning behind this. I brought this bill on my own. No one else, Senator Peters and I, have talked about this as it has been talked about for a long time as we hear testimony. Over the years, there has been this ongoing conversation about reserves being held in fund balances by local school districts. Currently, there is one-time reporting at the end of the fiscal year, and that's the number that we use when we are determining that. But concern has been expressed by school districts that that one-time picture does not tell the whole story. So this bill will help us look at that picture in a fuller view. And there are a variety of ways that money is distributed to the districts. Impact aid is sometimes unreliable when it comes from the federal government. So we know that some of those districts carry over a larger cash balance. There may be districts that receive their money twice a year, if it's all entirely local effort. Or others may have revenue that comes on a more regular basis. Each district needs that flexibility for cash flow for their particular needs based on their individual circumstances that they have as a district. This bill will allow a way to capture that month-to-month picture of the variety of funds that a school district has. It will capture that ebb and flow of the money in each district, and then it will allow for that timely collection of data to help make informed decisions. As we continue that conversation, is there too much fund reserve? Is there not enough? And so that we can, as a legislature and beyond, that we can look at that and see how are the needs of our districts being met and with the use of the money that they're keeping in their balances. So that's behind this bill, and I would appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1148. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. It's good to see all of you again. Good to see you back. Good to have you here. I would rise in favor of this, too. We have talked...
would you introduce yourself?
Sorry. Wade Pogany from the Associated School Boards. In conversations with Representative Sly, and as this came through the House, the school boards wanted you to know that we're supportive of this. If we can get to a point where we have, I think, a little bit more accurate data, and if we're looking at the amendment, which would change it to cash balances, which is what our business managers give school boards every month anyway, that's not a new oversome burden on reporting. And so I think it will give you and us some greater flexibility and some new information, and I think that's a good thing.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1148. Good morning. Happy Tuesday. It's Tuesday, right? Yep.
Good morning, Madam Chair, and I certainly won't make the rookie mistake that my friend did over at School Boards. I am Rob Munson from the Executive Director of the School Administrators of South Dakota. When our delegate assembly came to town in early February, this bill was one that was on our docket to discuss, and the business managers were not truly enamored with it at that point because of the fund balance line in there. That created a lot of additional work versus the cash balance. And it also put us a little bit more at ease when Tammy Darnell from the department said that they are working with the software vendor to incorporate this process into the annual reporting. If this can help us show legislators that over the course of a year, those fund balances aren't that one picture you see in June, we think that will be a positive move in helping with education funding. So at this point, we stand behind and want to see this bill move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Munson. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1148. Good morning. Welcome, Ms. Darnell.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Tammy Darnell with the Department of Education. And yes, we rise in support of this bill, too. This is information that is often requested. I think it will be a good tool for everybody to use to see, get a true picture of what is going on in each district with the ebb and the flow of their revenues and their expenditures. Mr. Munson is correct. We've had conversations with the software vendor. We think this is something that we can probably get incorporated in to actually the upload that they do each year. I know in the House Education Committee, I had commented something about this taking effect next fiscal year. I know there's a desire for the data based on this fiscal year that's going to complete on that data. I believe we can get that in place, even if it is the school districts looking back at their reports. It'd be based on what they report to their board meetings. And so we're working on getting that done so we can collect the data sooner. But we support this bill. I think it's a great idea. And I'll stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1148. Good morning. Welcome to another week of Senate Ed.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senator Greenfield, it's good to see you back again. Mary McCorkle, President of South Dakota Education Association. We, too, would like to rise in support of this. I believe that the information that will be collected will give greater clarity to some of the conversations that we've had in regards to funding and exactly where districts are. So we would urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony. Seeing none, is there opponent testimony to House Bill 1148? Seeing none, are there committee questions? Seeing none, and we'll close to the public portion and leave it for committee action and or discussion. Yes, Senator Greenfield.
Thank you,
Madam
Chair.
We have an amendment in front of us.
Yep, I would move Amendment 1148CB.
Thank you. Senator Greenfield has moved Amendment 1148CB, seconded by Senator Solano. Any discussion on that motion? Yes, Senator Curd.
Thank you, Chairman. I have a question for perhaps Representative Sly about the amendment.
Okay. Sorry. Did I miss your hand up? I apologize.
No, that's all right.
Please, Representative Sly.
It's kind of
Go
two
ahead.
Parts. The first part is, do school districts in general use the accrual basis of accounting? Is that how they do their books?
I think someone else in this room maybe can answer that more than me. Probably Tammy Darnell or Dr. Pugni maybe can. I don't personally
We're actually
know.
Seeing signaling from the back from the Associated School Boards that the answer is yes, accrual accounting.
Okay. And then maybe that someone else also can answer the second part is you talked a little bit about putting cash in front of balances in the amendment, but I wonder if someone could explain to the committee in a little bit more detail why that makes it easier as a accrual basis, you can still provide a report at the end of the month. I'm just wondering why the substantive change from the accrual fund balances, which is what I assume it would be, to cash balances. If someone could comment on that before we vote on the motion, I'd like
Ms. Darnell, could you help us out with that?
I'm not an accountant, but I do know some other things, but I do not know accounting. So,
thank you, Representative. We'll have Tammy Darnell from the Department of Education help us with that question.
Good morning again, Tammy Darnell, Department of Education. Great question. In simple terms, a lot of times throughout the school year, the school districts operate pretty closely on a cash, but then they do all those accruals to balance things out at the end of the fiscal year. So a lot of that is done doing all those payables and the receivables. Some of them are done throughout the year, but for each board meeting, they don't necessarily go through and balance it for each month. That's actually something they do at the end of the fiscal year. So, and the monthly, it's more looking at that cash basis.
Is that a follow-up with Ms. Darnell? Okay, go ahead, Senator.
So, are you telling us then that if you looked at the two different balances, they'd be widely disparate if you looked at the cash balance any one month compared to what the accrual balance would be? And so you believe the cash balance is actually a more accurate reflection of the current balance in the account? Is that the methodology?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'm saying that it's going to be a lot easier for the business managers to report that cash balance, because if we ask them to go through and do the accruals each month, it would put a lot more effort on them. Yes, there could be some disparity, especially when we've had conversations in our office about what will happen with that June fund balance, because when we look at the cash one versus the accrual when they balance everything out, yes, there will be differences because those accruals are in there. I'm not saying one or the other is more accurate. It's just trying to make it easier. And also, my understanding is the reason for wanting this monthly look is just to get an idea of when those ebbs and those flows are for the revenues, the expenditures, and what's going on in the school district. And this should provide it. This is what's provided to the school boards each year or each month also. Does that help?
Okay.
Thank you. All right, Senators, we have a do-pass motion on 1148CB, the amendment. Further discussion on that amendment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
All right. House Bill 1148 has been amended. Okay, so now interested in action and or discussion on House Bill 1148 as amended.
So moved.
Senator Rampelberg has moved.
Second.
Do pass, and a second by Senator Solano. Did I miss your hand up?
No, sorry. Point of order. I just heard so moved. I wasn't sure what the motion was. So I'm asking what the motion actually was.
Sorry, and that's sorry. He's correct. Sorry, Senator. If I move do pass on House Bill 1148 as amended.
Thank you. All right. We have a motion by Senator Rampelberg and a second by Senator Solano for a do pass on House Bill 1148 as amended. Further discussion?
Just to comment quickly, I agree with this. It would really help us understand it. You know, one of the things I've been getting a little bit of an acquaintance in another board that I'm on is having to do with accrual accounting, and unfortunately, I still don't understand it. But I do know this: so when you have a commitment of 48.75 or whatever from the state, you show that as income on your fund balance, but it's not really. You don't have it yet. And so if we were to put that in there, it's really confusing. So we're better off to go with the cash balance than we are with the accrual balance, because you'd have to go back and refigure in your own mind what it really is saying. So I think this is a good bill, and I thank you for bringing Representative Sly. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, go ahead, Senator Solano.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I agree that I think what we're trying to get out of this is the cash flow cycling that happens in school districts, and I think this will do that. And I'm hopeful that they're able to go back and take a look at this, even if it's a little bit of a look back, because I think this could be valuable information as this Blue Ribbon Task Force is pulled together. So I'm hopeful that we can do that. Thank you.
And I'd just like to add, I too think this is important as we're working to build a new trust amongst all parties, between, you know, everybody that's in the school districts and, you know, the local level decision making, along with what's going on in the state and the partnership with the legislators. I just think, you know, having data that we have agreed upon can only help us in the future. All right. Seeing no further discussion, we have a do pass motion on House Bill 1148 as amended. Teresa, call the roll. All in favor say aye. Opposed, nay.
Senators Curd.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Carries.
House Bill 1148 is due pass.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Solano.
I move consent.
Okay.
Second.
It's been moved consent by Senator Solano and seconded by Senator Frerichs. Consent agenda for House Bill 1148. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Whoop. Do I have to do roll call on consent? No. All of a sudden, I had a moment. Okay. All in favor, let's do that again. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1148 is amended. We'll move down to the Senate floor on the consent agenda. Thank you. Okay. House Bill 1101, an act to ensure control over curriculum and methods of instruction. Proponent testimony. Welcome back, Representative Sly.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Jacqueline Sly, District 33, speaking for myself. House Bill 1101 puts into statute what's already in practice in South Dakota. This bill addresses curriculum and methods of instruction. When we talk about and think about what's happening in education throughout the nation and including this state, this bill ensures that the decisions currently being made at the local level stay at the local level. We already do this. School districts are already, right now, they are the ones that decide which curriculum that school districts use and which methods they're going to use for teaching. That's not true in every state, but in South Dakota, it is true. So let's break this down. I don't know if any of you listened to the testimony on the House floor or the debate on the House floor when this bill went through, but maybe I need to clarify. I know that we're the Education Committee, and I don't mean to downplay or make it for any of you to as though I'm talking down to you, but there were a lot of questions that had to do with what does this really mean? Curriculum means the resources that are used in the classroom. It might be a textbook. It could be online resources. Maybe someone went to a workshop someplace and they got this book that shared in possible classroom curriculum that they could use. It's the materials that are used to teach in a classroom. The methods of teaching, that's how the educator actually takes that information, what they want the students to learn, and how they actually teach it to them and what they do. You might use paper and pencil. A teacher might use manipulatives, such as counting cubes. We experienced some of those earlier this year. Could be M&Ms. Maybe the teacher takes them outside and they actually construct something. Or maybe they are going to measure a distance outside. That's the method that the teacher uses. That's up to the individual school district and teacher of the method that they're going to be using. It does not address, and I'm saying this not because of my original testimony, but because of some of the questions that were asked on the House floor. This does not have anything to do with standards. It does not have anything to do with assessments. It doesn't have anything to do with teacher evaluation or student privacy. Those questions were asked. That's not what this is about. This is about what happens in that local school district and deciding what materials are going to use and what method that the teachers are going to use for teaching. This bill ensures that a school district and the educators within that district are the decision makers as to what curriculum and methods are used to teach the children in that district. We do it in practice. I brought this bill to put it into law to ensure that we do not have any additional outside levels of government or people telling us what we have to do in our local school districts. I brought it to ensure and protect that current practice that we have. And with that, I would ask you to support House Bill 1101.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1101.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, Melody Schaap, Department of Ed. Just be very brief this morning in that we appreciate that Representative Sly brought this because we've had many conversations about what curriculum is and what standards are, what the role is of the Board of Education and what the role is of local school districts in making those decisions. Representative Sly is correct that many states this is not the case. I was just reading a couple months ago, Texas Board of Education selects all of the textbooks for all of the school districts in Texas. And so that Board of Education has a lot of authority in choosing the science curriculum and choosing, you know, all those series that they have. So for textbook companies, it's a heyday in Texas because they do a lot of lobbying there to really pressure their board to make those decisions. We're here, our local school boards are able to review and look at curriculum based on what they feel is best for their local school district. So what this does, it really, as Representative Sly stated, puts into law what we are doing in practice, and I think it really solidifies the fact that we believe strongly in local control for local school districts and local boards to make decisions based on alignment to our state standards. So we stand in support of this, and I'll stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Further proponents, House Bill 1101. Welcome back.
Good morning again, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Mary McCorkle, President of South Dakota Education Association. One of the things that I know from my years in the classroom is that the most effective curriculum is locally developed by teachers and administrators. When we do that, we ensure that our students are challenged and successful, and we work together to do the very best we can, and we support this.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony? Seeing none, is there opponent testimony to House Bill 1101? Seeing none, are there questions from the senators? Seeing none, we'll move it to committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Senator Solano.
I'd move due pass of House Bill 1101.
It has been moved by Senator Solano and seconded by Senator Curd. Due pass House Bill 1101. Discussion on your motion.
Just a comment. Again, you know, I think the more we can clarify so that we can have more pointed discussions as we need on what's curriculum, what's standards, and that, I think this helps clarify it. And I just really appreciate the bill sponsor for all that she's done, not only this year but in past years, to bring these kinds of things forward and help us move forward.
Further discussion? You know, it would seem that this kind of languaging we wouldn't necessarily have to put into statute, but I think from all of the questions that we've had over time and the re-explanation and people not understanding with full clarity, I think it's just really important that we would have this piece of operational definition and lines of authority and accountability, and that we would really be ensuring the local control, which we continue to talk about as with respect to curriculum. So I appreciate the representative bringing this forward, and Senator Rampelberg for prime sponsoring in the Senate. So, all right, we have a due pass motion on the table for House Bill 1101. Teresa will call the roll. All in favor say aye, and opposed nay.
Senators Curd.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Carries.
House Bill 1101 will be due passed to the Senate floor. All right. We will now move on to House Bill 1005, an act to repeal the Foundation Program Fund and references thereto. Proponent testimony on House Bill 1005. Representative Munsterman is not here. Okay, so we'll hold that for a minute. I'm going to ask if one of our pages would go over and see if Representative Munsterman is coming for his bill or if it's something we need to hold to a later date. Yes.
I talked to him this morning and he's the prime in the Senate.
Senator Brown, he thought Senator Brown would be here.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'll ask you to maybe go see if Senator Brown would like to come up and present House Bill 1005. Okay, thank you. All right, in lieu of that, we're going to move on to 1117, because we do have the prime sponsor in the Senate for this bill. This is an act to provide the approval of post-secondary courses for certain non-public school students and students receiving alternative instruction. Welcome, Senator Greenfield.
Thank you.
We'll just give you a moment to get yourself situated.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
For our listeners on the internet, he had a severely broken arm, and so he's making his way around as best he can.
Yeah, thank you. Madam Chair and members of the committee, it's great to be back. I'm 6 days removed from my surgery, five and a half to be more precise, so I'm thankful, very thankful for the healing hand of God and the very precise decisions in the operating room of the surgeon and the assistants. They were wonderful, and I'm counting my blessings, as I said. I have before you House Bill 1117, and it is hopefully as simple as it appears to be in the title. Representative Klum came to me earlier in session and asked me whether I would sign on to this bill as the prime, and I said I certainly would. And very simply, what this does is, as we've heard earlier today, this puts common practice into statute relative to how private school students and homeschooled students are able to participate in dual eligibility courses. So it's a public school policy in law. We'd like to put the current practice of our department into the statute as well. Very simply, that is my testimony. There are others, I believe, who are here to testify, so I will allow those folks to come forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1117. Good morning. Welcome.
Hi. My name is Monica Tanner, and I'm a volunteer lobbyist with South Dakota Christian Home Educators. And good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee, and Senator Greenfield. Thank you for sponsoring this bill. The dual credit program is an awesome opportunity for all the high school students in South Dakota, and we want to say a hearty thank you to the legislature and the governor and the Department of Ed for creating the program. Families have been waiting a long time for this opportunity, and with South Dakota not having JUCOs, it's not as feasible as is other states, except for the advent of online classes. So all of our rural kids can take advantage of that kind of thing, too. This bill will match current practice with the statute. It will pave the way for families, school districts, admissions offices, as well as future DOE and BOR personnel to immediately understand who signs off on the application form. And the statute says to go to the local school district, you know. So if I went to Central High School, Principal Talley would be like, who are you? What are we doing? Because I'm a homeschool educator. So it saves time in knowing who signs off on the application. The student's own admin signs off on the application. So it really saves the employee time and not trying to figure out what are we doing here. So thank you for your support of HB 1117.
Thank you, Ms. Tanner. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1117. Welcome back, Madam Secretary.
Good morning again, Melody Schaap, Department of Ed. Thank you, Senator Greenfield, for bringing this forward along with the other sponsors. When this program came into place at the beginning of this last year, as you know, this has been, you know, exceeded our expectations for the interest. And it was, you know, as we began the conversations, we had a few people contact us about the non-public schools as well as our homeschool students, and we, you know, we've always been really supportive of those choices that parents make for their children, and felt this was really good idea to open it up to all students across the state. So we've been putting this into practice this last year, and feel better about it if it's put into actual statute to allow us to move forward with this as well. And it really makes it clear the procedures, and I think that was what the previous proponents spoke about, that's necessary for eligible students. So the department is pleased to stand in support of 1117 and would stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1117. Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony? Oh, come on up. Are you a proponent? I'm just, you know, I'm moving it along today, so sorry. I need to pause a little.
All right. Madam Secretary, members of the committee, Paul Terman with the South Dakota Board of Regents, stand in support of this legislation as well. The board has had dual credit opportunities or concurrent credit opportunities in place for a number of years. We have our Rising Scholars Program, which allows students who enroll in courses that are delivered by their high school teacher who meet our qualification requirements, as well as the new high school dual credit program. So those students who meet our eligibility criteria, we certainly agree should be open for this legislation.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there further proponent testimony? Is there opponent testimony on House Bill 1117? Seeing none, are there questions from the senators? Seeing none, we'll close to public testimony and open it up to committee discussion and or action. Yes, Senator Frericks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move due pass on House Bill 1117.
Second.
We have a due pass on House Bill 1117 by Senator Frericks and a second by Senator Curd. Discussion on that motion. Yes, Senator Frericks.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess, you know, from my standpoint, I've always been a huge believer and actually, you know, helped teach in some dual credit opportunities. And so I think anytime we can make sure that at least students out there from all backgrounds are able to participate is the way that things should work. So I encourage support.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion, Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was remiss in my testimony. I should have mentioned that in addition to private and homeschool students, this also extends to tribal schools. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion on the motion? I just want to say that I was really happy to sign on to this piece of legislation. And, you know, I think the dual credit program should be supportive of all of our students in the state, and appreciate the clarity and Senator Greenfield for bringing this forward, along with Representative Klum. You know, I think we have a variety of methodologies of how children are educated in our state, and the dual credit has really proven that linkage to staying in South Dakota for college and, you know, moving on. And that's part of our strategy of keeping our kids at home for our workforce, so, and to help them be successful. All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we have a do-pass motion on House Bill 1117 before us. Teresa will call the roll. All in favor say aye, and opposed nay.
Senators Kurd, Frerichs,
aye.
Greenfield,
aye.
Hunhoff, Rampelberg,
aye.
Solano,
aye.
Soholt,
aye.
Carries.
House Bill 1117 is due pass to the Senate.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Greenfield has moved consent.
Second.
There's a second by Senator Rampelberg. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. All right. House Bill 1117 will move to the Senate floor on the consent agenda. Thank you. All right, we will now move on to House Bill 1005, an act to repeal the Foundation Program Fund and references thereto. Welcome, Representative Munsterman.
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Scott Munsterman, Representative District 7, and House Bill 1005 really is a cleanup bill. GOAC, I believe about a year and a half ago, reviewed a number of the fund line items within the budget just to see what's redundant, you know, what are we using, what are we not using. And this came up evidently last session. There were some pieces of it that were overlooked. It came to the Legislative Planning Committee because we were looking at K-12 education. And so we really bring that forward as a cleanup bill at this time. The fund last, I believe, came into effect back in 1959. And, of course, it hasn't been used for probably 30-some-odd years. And so essentially that's my testimony. That's all I know. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, we know that you know a whole lot more than that, but perhaps on this foundation program, you don't want to go any deeper. Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1005. Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony on 1005? Seeing none, are there any committee questions? Seeing none, we'll move it to committee action and or discussion. Yes, Senator Rampelberg.
Madam Chair, I move due pass on House Bill 1005.
Second.
We have a do-pass motion from Senator Rampelberg and a second by Senator Frerichs on House Bill 1005. Is there any discussion?
Just a quick comment.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was on the committee with Representative Musterman, and this indeed was one of the things that we were looking at. And it's pretty simple change. It's a fairly lengthy bill, but as you go through everything past the first paragraph, it just deletes references to this foundation program fund. So I think it's an improvement. Let me put it that way. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the do-pass motion, House Bill 1005? Seeing none, Teresa, call the roll. All in favor say aye, and opposed nay.
Senators Kurd.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Carries.
House Bill 1005 is due pass to the Senate.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Solano.
Move consent.
Second.
It's been moved consent by Senator Solano and seconded by Senator Frerichs to move House Bill 1005 on the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. House Bill 1005 will move to the Senate floor on the consent agenda. Woo! There we go. Way to start a week.
I thought we had a long agenda.
Well, there we are, five bills, but you guys are just so efficient. They probably are wondering why I didn't let them sleep in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Better planning next time. Is there any further business to bring before Senate Education? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Thank you, Senator Kurd.
Second.
And a second by, who did that? Senator Rampelberg. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senate Education is hereby adjourned.